Okay, our next presenter is Peter Kavergia, excuse me for destroying your name. And he's going to talk about identification of nitrogen management categories to reduce uncertainty and estimates of economic optimum rates. And he is from the Iowa Soybean Association.
Thank you, Mike. It's a great pleasure to present today. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Tracy Blackmer on Farm Network Iowa Soybean Association, and Hayin Tao and Thomas Morris, Department of Plant Science, University of Connecticut. What's the best way to move it? I would like to start my talk with the figure which Tom just presented a couple minutes ago. It's a collection of 54 yield response trials done in Iowa in early 90s. And several graduate students spent days and years collecting this data. But I want to make two points. The first is there is a great variability in yield response and great variability in economical optimum rates. And also partially this variability because of the assumption we put a lot of in different models. And as Scott mentioned, each model has a specific assumption. It's a slope, it's a curve, and so on. And mathematically, we can calculate all these economic optimum rates. But the most important problem, in my opinion, is actually going from individual trial, from individual ER, to the interpolate for the rest of the area. And right now, there is no clear cookbook, neither in agronomic literature or economics, how to go from ex post estimate to ex ante or nitrogen recommendation. That's why in those two papers published in Agronomy Journal, we introduced the idea of nitrogen management categories. And by nitrogen management category, I mean it's a group of trial which has a relatively narrow range in economical optimum rates. It can be based on crop rotation, timing, forms of fertilization, soil characteristic, and so on. The purpose is to reduce variability and focus on the most important variability in ER. And for those who spend a lot of time collecting similar data, we know that it takes a lot of time and money to collect this data. But the most important is actually, as I mentioned before, the lack of methodology, how to go from this estimate to real nitrogen fertilizer recommendation. And currently, the most advanced recommendation practice in Midwestern state right now consider only crop rotation and prices because it takes too much time and data to separate these categories. That's why a couple years ago, a group of growers working with Iowa Soybean Association decided to go a little bit different path. Instead of putting so much resources and estimate these ERs precisely, they wanted to know how close their rates were to the near optimal. They created so-called two nitrogen rate strip trials. And the idea is to compare only two rates. It's a normal rate, which would grow would apply. And then the second rate is one-third above or below normal. Those were field-scale trials by using precision farming technology. And this is an example on the right which shows one of these trials. But in addition to measuring yield responses and differences in yield, they also used another tool, which is a Comstock nitrate test, which is independent measure of nitrogen sufficiency or nitrogen status. They, based on a late season aerial imagery, they selected nine sampling area in each field, and they pull one sample from each nitrogen rate, total 18 sample from each field. And the idea is that whether we can use Comstock nitrate test as a proxy for economical optimum rates. And this is the figure. It's a collection of about 115 trials collected for the last 4 years in Iowa. And we have the average stock nitrate values for the low nitrogen rate, which a grower apply on their fields. And we have a marginal product, which is the yield response per unit of nitrogen applied. It's not yield, it's a yield response per unit of nitrogen applied. And we compare this marginal product to the marginal cost, which is the amount of grain required to pay for per unit of nitrogen. And this is kind of simplified yield response curve, as Scott mentioned. It's instead of going through derivatives and difficult calculation, it's more user-friendly for farmers. But the idea is to actually look exactly where these economical optimal rates fall in what stock test nitrate categories. And to be more specific, I calculated how many trials in each category had an economic yield response, or yield response, which is higher than this marginal cost. And I can move this marginal cost up and down depending on different prices. I took prices for nitrogen and corn in 2006, 2007, 2008. And if I look at this number of trials with economic yield response, it doesn't make much difference in some categories. But what is important that there were 70% of trials in deficient category here that had economic yield response to additional nitrogen. There were 50% of trials with economic yield response in marginal category, about a third in optimal, and only a fraction in excessive. What it means that to some degree, of, with some assumption, we can use this corn stock nitrate categories as a proxy for economical optimal rates. And if we can use those categories, stock nitrate category, as a proxy for IRRs, we develop so-called guided corn stock nitrate survey, where growers can go on their actual fields and use this evaluation tool and characterize distribution in nitrogen sufficiency level across Iowa. And specific objective was to actually identify this measurement category based on nitrogen status at different scale. And we look at nitrogen forms, timing, tillage, weather, soil types, and so on. For the guided corn stock nitrate survey, we utilized the late season aerial imagery taken in late August, early September. In each field, we selected three sampling area, one sampling area within three predominant soil types. The survey design was stratified sampling. Fields were used as strata. And we used this handheld GPS to navigate to these selected points and to be sure that the samples were collected in exact location. In 2006, we had about 700 fields. 2007, we had about 800 fields. And you may notice these clusters of fields in different colors. We had about 30 grower groups across Iowa, and each group had a leader who was responsible for group meeting, image interpolation, and collecting management information. For the management information, we collected rotation, tillage, drainage, soil types. And for the nitrogen forms and timing, we created five major categories: anhydrous ammonia fall, liquid UAN side dress, UAN spring, liquid soy manure in fall, and anhydrous ammonia in spring. The other small categories, such as poultry manure, beef manure, urea, were not used because the sample size was relatively small. We also use continuous variables. We use spatial interpolated daily rainfall, 4 kilometer grids for Iowa. We use monthly rainfall, cumulative rainfall, total nitrogen rate applied, and corn suitability rating. The objective was to treat the stock test category as a measure of nitrogen sufficiency or supply from the soil and the fertilizer. And we want to treat them as ordered categorical variables. We utilize so-called ordinal logistic regression. And this is type of regression which helps to estimate the cumulative probability to test in the highest stock test category. Essentially, ordinal logistic regression allows to calculate three different binary regression. One, it's the probability to go from deficient to the higher, from deficient to the marginal, and the third regression from these three categories to excessive. The assumption in ordinal logistic regression is that these three individual regressions are more or less parallel. Essentially, slopes are non-statistically different. And we utilize survey logistic in SAS procedure. Now, the interpretation of this this type of regression a little bit different than in simple linear regression. And here is just simple step how it's done. Let's assume this is the observed data. These are proportion of samples tested in no-till fields, and we had a couple hundreds of those. In 2006, the yellow color, it's a proportion for deficient, green for optimal, and red for excessive. Let's assume that cumulative probability to test in this highest stock test category is 0.5, right here. Then the probability to test in lower is going to be, based on the low probability, 1 minus 0.5. Then we can estimate odds to test in higher category. It's going to be 1 to 1, which means 50% by 50% in no-till field, the odds to test higher were 1 to 1. But let's assume we have the second category, which is tilled. And this is type of mosaic plot. And you can see that there is no shift in colors. The odds, we can calculate so-called odds ratio, which tells whether the categories are different or not. And the odds ratio for tillage field versus no-till is 1 to 1. No difference, no change. But let's look for another comparison in 2007. Tilled field versus no-till. You can see the shift in colors. We had a larger percentage of deficient samples in no-till, which means the odds ratio for tillage fields versus no-till fields in 1.4, which means there was 40% more chance to test in higher category for tilled field versus no-till field. Which means if odds ratio are higher, it tells about higher probability to test higher. If odds ratio lower, it means about lower probability to test higher. And this is the example of comparing different nitrogen management categories across Iowa for both years, 2006-2007. We have nitrogen forms and timing, previous crop, soil drainage, tillage. Each categorical variable has a reference category. Anhydrous ammonia sprint for form and timing, corn after corn for previous crop, poor drained soil for drainage, and no-till field for tillage. Essentially, all odds ratio for forms and timing were less than one compared with anhydrous ammonia sprint, which means that anhydrous ammonia sprint was more likely to test higher than the other categories. If you look for fall applied anhydrous ammonia, it was 70% more likely to test higher in 06 than liquid soy manure, and almost two times likely to test higher in 2007. There was significant difference between corn after corn and corn after soybean in 2007. Corn after soybean were less likely to test higher than corn after corn, which means it probably corn after soybean lost more nitrogen in relative wet year in 2007. For the soil drainage, well-drained soil compared with poor-drained soil in both year had odds ratio about one. And there was a significant effect of tillage in 2007, which means by 40%, tilled field were more likely to test higher than no-till field, which probably could be to nitrogen losses, higher nitrogen losses in no-till, or some immobilization process, some complex immobilization processes. For the continuous variables, such as total rainfall and total nitrogen rates applied, the interpretation of odds ratio is the same as a linear regression. As odds ratio increase, the probability to test higher also increases. There was significant effect of June rainfall in 2006, odds ratio less than one, and in 2007 for spring rainfall. And here is an example of interpretation of this this odds ratio for continuous variables. as the June rainfall increased in 2006, then probability to test higher definitely decreased with each inch of extra rainfall in 2006. And also, as the nitrogen rain increased in 2006, the probability to test higher also increased. Another question important in this estimate is that we can use this type of analysis to calculate how many samples we need to pull out. For example, based on different odds ratio and significance level, we can say that at this odds ratio, we probably need about 400 samples, which is about 150 fields, or we need about 20 fields for this odds ratio. We can go to different scale. For example, we want to look at the effect of soil types for the Des Moines law. And this is the same figure, same table for the Des Moines law. We can see that somehow poor drain soil, Nicolet soil, were less likely to test higher than Webster soil in 2006, and more likely to test, almost three times more likely to test than Webster's soil in 2007. There were larger difference between anhydrous ammonia fall and liquid soy manure in 2006, and almost four times anhydrous ammonia were more likely to test high in 2007. And if you look at the comparison of liquid swine, UAN cedrus and anhydrous ammonia in 2006, because of drought, cedrus application were less efficient than anhydrous ammonia in spring. And finally, the significance of comparing this management category based on stock nitrate value as proxy for EORs, we can delineate these categories and actually design more control study for these categories. For example, add in extra nitrogen rates and see whether they have difference in yield response. Also, we can estimate relative efficiency of one management category compared with the other. And we can identify the most efficient category. And by doing this, we can design so-called benchmark or reference category. And we can make comparison across the state or across different counties. And the last, by using these tools or similar tools, we can evaluate the impact of government regulation, performance of public and private nitrogen fertilizer recommendation. And if someone went to the yesterday presentation where a person from EPA spoke, she said that they really need tools like this. Thank you.
Okay.